Baruch Hashem, the kehila has grown, the shul is something in the sad that you can see it from every part of Beit Shemesh. This is a migdal or that spreading light to the whole neighborhood, all the ramot. Baruch Hashem, all the. Yeah, but Rav like Rav Elimelech leading you, and know that you always have the right direction, know which way to go. There's no in simcha katoras asfekas. That's the biggest simcha that there is over here. To know what's the right way, which way the head is supposed to be on. This kehila has got everything on straight. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Well, let's continue with these tremendous programs for learning, for the children, for the parents, for the grandparents, for chulei. And this is where the gula is going to start from these kinds of kehilas. Who would have dreamt that we'd have kehilas like this in Eretz Yisrael? Well, America's being transplanted over here now. Lat. Maybe it'll get a little faster now. I can't imagine it's going to go lat anymore. We see what's happening to the prices of apartments over here. Okay. All of you are very lucky that you came at the right time and you're able to sit and learn Torah and Eretz Yisrael. I'm Torah, Katara, Eretz Yisrael. This year I'd like to talk about the mitzvahs of Purim. Chazal spell out for us four mitzvahs. It says in the Megillah that Bnei Yisrael were mekabel on themselves, lasos yimei mishta v'simcha v'nishleich manas ish l're'eyu matanas l'avyayinim. So that's three. Mishta v'simcha is the Sudas Purim, Simchas Purim, and then you have the mishleich manos and matanas l'avyayinim, and the fourth mitzvah is of course the Kriyas HaMegillah of Purim, where we read the Pesumei Nisa, we read about the Neis. If these are the way, these are the mitzvahs that Chazal gave us in order to take with us the Neis of Purim, the lessons of Purim, they must embody everything that we're supposed to learn from Purim and demonstrate to us somehow what we could take with us and what we should learn from Purim. So there's got to be some common denominator here between them that we could learn from if we look deeply enough into it, and can be very meaningful for the way that we practice our mitzvahs on Purim. So I'd like to delve into this, and we're going to start off with trying to find what the hidden theme is behind everything that's happening in the Megillas Esther. And it's below the surface, but not so deeply below the surface. And this is the key to seeing what was accomplished during Purim, during the Neis Purim. We find that the first thing that we meet when we open the Megillas Esther, Kesheves HaMelech HaChashverosh, he's ready to make a big party and he's celebrating. What's the big party about? So Chazal tell us what the big party was about. He said, Kodesh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael they're going to be in Golus only 70 years. I calculated the years. It's 70 years already, and they're not out. If so, it must be that they're not going back again. It must be that the Ribbono Shel Olam isn't with them anymore. They must have done something wrong. And if so, it's time to celebrate, because the Goyim know that Klal Yisrael is going to end up coming back and leading all the nations. And as long as there's a Klal Yisrael, it's somewhat of a threat to them. That's the core of all anti-Semitism. And Achashverosh is ready to celebrate. If there's not going to be a Klal Yisrael anymore, then we could take over Eretz Yisrael, and we could rule all the nations. There's nothing to stop us. Now it's his big party. What's it say in the Gemara? It says, he made this cheshbonos. Baal Shatzer made cheshbonos before that, and he made a mistake. He was killed. The famous story of Menei Menei Tekel Uparsin, of what happened when the Malchus Bovel fell. But Achashverosh said, I got it right this time. Epic money to be Makdash. He took out the clay base of Mikdash to use, and that's what the Gemara says in Megillah. Meaning that the Klal Yisrael in Golos means there's no base of Mikdash. Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael means we're making a base of Mikdash. That's what it means. Klal Yisrael is going to Eretz Yisrael, what for? To serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. And how do you do that? You make a Makam of Mikdash, and that's the place that's most prepared for serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, if Klal Yisrael is in Golos, there's no base of Mikdash. Took out the clay base of Mikdash, he felt free. Basically, what this is saying is that Achashverosh was celebrating the destruction of the base of Mikdash and Klal Yisrael not returning to Eretz Yisrael. And this was what weighed very heavily on his mind. We find that when he told Esther by the party that Esther made, I'll grant you any wish you want, he said, Ad Chatzia Malchus. The Gemara says about that. Ad Chatzia Malchus, v'lo kol ha-malchus, lo dover shechotzetet ha-malchus, which is Binyan Beis HaMikdash. I'm not going to give you the Beis HaMikdash. That, forget about it. Beis HaMikdash is taboo. That's something that we can't allow. If you have a Beis HaMikdash, you don't have a Malchus Achashverosh. Basically, that's what it boils down to. And that's what Achashverosh was telling her. In fact, Rashi tells us in Megillah that there's a Sofer HaMelech named Shimshai, and he was a Sone Yisrael. Rashi says he was already a Sofer HaMelech. He was the secretary of the state way back in the times of Koresh. And that's what it says in Ezra, that he was Kosav Sitna Binyan Abayis. In his days, they stopped the building of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning the times of Koresh. Rebuttal came to Eretz Yisrael, leading a large amount of Jews with the purpose of resettling Eretz Yisrael and coming back and building the Beis HaMikdash. They went ahead and started building. Along came the Shomronim and other nations around there and said, hey, what's happening? No, don't say they're back again. We can't let that happen. And they started sending messages to the king to try to stop the building the Beis HaMikdash, and they succeeded. And they succeeded through Shimshai Sofer. This Sofer HaMelech is one that was writing Sitna Yehudim, meaning that he wrote the letter saying, the king says, stop building, don't let them do it, they can't go any further. So, when did this happen? It says that in Rashi that this happened at the time of Koresh, but it happened again in the times of Achashverosh. It says to the Pharisee in Ezra that in the times of Achashverosh, then again, that the Kosu Sitna Yehudim, they stopped the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And who was the one that was behind it? Again, this Shimshai Sofer. Rashi says in the end of the Gilas Esther, by the Aseres Bnei Haman, he brings a Seder Olam that says, these 10 children of Haman, you know why they're hanged? Because they're the ones that it says about in Sefer Ezra, B'malchus Achashverosh B'tchilas Malchus Kosu Sitna Yesh V'Yehudim Yishalayim, to be Mevatel the Oile Goyle from building the Beis HaMikdash. These were the ones that did it. These 10 children of Haman, this Shimshai Sofer was one of the club of the Bnei Haman who were trying to arrange and see that the Beis HaMikdash should not be built. So we see that what's going on here in the Megillas Esther is there going to be a Beis HaMikdash? Is Klal Yisrael going to return to Eretz Yisrael or not? And that is what Haman was making this Gezerah about. Haman's interest was to see to it that Klal Yisrael does not have a Beis HaMikdash and does not return. As we see that the Bnei Haman were the ones that are writing Sitna Yehud and they're trying to stop the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Well, why was this Haman's primary interest, and why was it that his family came a Molech more than anyone else? Achashverosh didn't come up with the idea of making a Gzeret to kill all the Jews. He was celebrating, but to kill all the Jews, to go that far, that he wasn't ready to do. But when it came to Haman, it was something that was so important to him, so much a part of his nature and a part of his soul, that he said, we've got to stop the Beis HaMikdash at all costs. We've got to stop Klal Yisrael completely. We have to cut out Klal Yisrael. So to understand this, how Amalek relates to the Beis HaMikdash, we have to start with the well-known medrash that Rashi brings at the end of Beshalach, that kol zman shezera amolek ba'olam ein Hashem shalem ve'ein hakisei shalem. The Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei is not full and complete. It says Yad Al Kase, Kase is short for Kisei, and Kosh is abbreviation for Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Shem Hashem is not full, and the Kisei of Hashem is not full as long as Amalek is in the world. As long as Amalek exists, it takes away from the Shlemus of the Kisei. In what sense? In what way? How is it that Amalek takes away? So the Maral over there explains, what's at the root of Amalek? He says, Amalek, much like many other nations from the 70 nations, Amalek is Nifrat. He's not connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But he's different than all the other nations, because all the other nations have a way of connecting to Ribbono Shel Olam. Klal Yisrael is able to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The other nations can serve Klal Yisrael, can be connected, and can learn from Klal Yisrael. But Amalek refuses. Amalek's trait is they refuse to be subordinate to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And to that end, they refuse to be subordinate to Klal Yisrael. They don't want to be part of that plan. They want to be out. They big out. They say, this isn't for us. We are living with this world. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He gave it to us. We're living the way we want to live it. It's not in his hands to tell us. That's what they say, Kaviyachol. It's not in his hands to tell us what to do. It's for us. We're not going to listen to Klai, so I'm not going to listen to Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what Amalek stands for. We are individual, separate. We have our own plans and could do what we want. And in that sense, it takes away from the Achdus of Hashem and the Kisei of Hashem. What's the Achdus of Hashem? I mean, the Shem Yudkei Vovkei is Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Right? That's the Yudkei Vovkei Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, there's two ways of looking at the world. Our perspective, where we see me and you and him, and we see buildings and books and cars and other things, they all look different. And there's another perspective entirely where the Ribbono Shel Olam looks at the world, and everything only has a place in existence because the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving it a place. This is a place, something that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a place for existence. This is something that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a place to exist. So basically, everything is just existing in the Ribbono Shel Olam, kaviyachol, so to speak. Its existence is just as expressing a part of how the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to show his adnus and his malchus in the world. That's what everything is. So everything is really serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu and bringing out the kvod shemayim. That's what it means. So everything has its part and its duty, its mission to accomplish. That's the way of looking at the world, the way Klal Yisrael looks at the world. And in that sense, the world is really one. It's true that we have all these different things, but they're all doing the same, they're accomplishing the same mission. They're doing the same, reaching the same goal. In that sense, the entire world, which we see with such diversity, so many different colors and things and creatures, but it's all really one. That's Hashem Echad. And that's what Amalek is taking away from. By Amalek looking at the world the way that they do and saying, no, this world is my world. This world is for me to do what I want to do. And there's another nation also. Okay, they could do what they want to do. And if it's not what I want to do, we may clash with each other. Okay, each one has to try to take for himself. That is taking away from the achdus of the world. And that's Ein Hashem Echad. It's kaviyos what it means. That's Ein Hashem Echad. The world is looked at in a different sense, in a sense of diversity that's not working together. It's not a single unit. That's what Amalek stands for. That's at the root of Amalek. This is important to know. The root of Amalek is not hate Klal Yisrael. The root of Amalek is let's make war. The root of Amalek is we don't allow our Kodesh Baruch Hu into our world. This is the world that we could do with what we want. That is what Amalek stands for. And in that sense, Ein Hashem Shalem, The Shem Hashem, Yud Kevavke, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not, what does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one? Is it one HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one with everything that exists. Everything exists is one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Amalek takes away from that. And what does it mean? Eina Kisei Shalem? Says the Maral, Kisei means the Malchus. Eina Malchus Shalem. Malchus means the Melech that rules over everything. Right? That's sort of taking it down a level. Hashem Echad that we were discussing is a very high level of understanding and seeing, looking at the world and seeing it's all a Kodesh Baruch. It's all a reflection of what a Kodesh Baruch wants us to see, how he wants us to experience his experience him in this world. The Malchus is that we're following the will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're following the mitzvahs of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're all trying to accomplish what a Kodesh Baruch Hu tells us to. That's the Malchus. And the Malchus, that's being a Melech. A Melech is telling the people that you have, here we're looking at things as there is something separate, as Ribono Shel Olam, as the rest of the world, but we're following a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's something that we could relate to more easily. And that is also not Shalem as long as Amalek is there, because he says, no, I'm not going to be part of that group of people that are doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And then, that's Amalek. Amalek is taking himself away from the Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Achdus of Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, what's it mean? It says it's called Om Kabbalas Om Malchus Shemayim. The Hashem Echad is A, like we said, that everything is all existing in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the B is that there's the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. That's the Achdus. The Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. If you Mekabel the king, then the nation is one. When we are Mekabel Kodesh Baruch Hu as our king, then the whole nation is united under the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's the Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. So that's what Amalek is trying to deprive the world of. Right? So that's what he said. Amalek stands for refusal of allowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence to be felt by the world. It says, we close HaKadosh Baruch Hu, add from ourselves, we are not part of the Achdus. Everything is Achdus, and no, we're not part of it. We're not going to let it, and we don't want it to be Achdus. That's what Amalek is. There is no unity. There is no one world that's working together. What do you mean? See how the carnivores eat the lesser and the smaller animals, and the smaller animals eat the ones smaller than them. That's how they live. That's what Amalek is. It's not part of a master plan where, of course, there's a food chain. Everything's working together in order that every part of the world should get what they need. No. Not a food chain, it's dog eat dog. That's what Amalek stands for. This is a feature that they received from the Esav gene that we find already by Esav. Rashi tells us that even though Esav, when the Pasuk's describing six descendants of Esav, it calls him Nifashot, but when Yaakov's family is described as 70, it calls them Nefesh. Esav is separation, Pirud. This is a source for the Maral that Amalek is trying to separate, trying to be apart. And that's what Esav is, each to their own. Whereas Klal Yisrael is all for one and one for all. That's what Shivim Nefesh means. 70, but Nefesh, a single soul behind all of them. So I want to tell you something very interesting that I discovered and realized about Amalek, that the name Amalek demonstrates this point. And how is that? Amalek is Ayin Molak. Ayin Molak. Molak. What's mean Ayin and what's Molak? Well, Malika is what the Kohen does to a bird when he sacrifices it for the Mizbeach. He cuts off the back of the neck with his nail. It's separating the head from the body. separating the head from the body by the back of the neck is called malika, malak. The ayin over here of Amalek is the 70 nations. Amalek is Rashis Goyim Amalek. They consider themselves the head of the 70 nations, meaning they're standing for the opposite of what Klal Yisrael stands for. Klal Yisrael is considered Rashis. Rashis Tevuaso, like Rashi says in the beginning of Bereshis, Bishvil, right, it says, Bereshis, Bara Elokim, Bishvil, Klal Yisrael, Shenikru'u Rashis. In what sense are they Rashis? Because the king, the leader, is the Rashis. He's the one in front that everyone follows. Rashis means the one that's on top, the one that's in front, the one that's leading. Klal Yisrael is like the head of all the nations. They're the Rosh. But Amalek says, no, Rashis Gayim Amalek. We consider ourselves, they look at themselves as a Rashis, meaning the Rashis of Gayim. They're the leaders of all the other nations that are distanced from the Ribbono Shel Olam and can join the Ribbono Shel Olam by following Klal Yisrael. As long as they're not following Klal Yisrael, then they're following Amalek. Then Amalek is the Rashis. Amalek says dispersion. Amalek says diversity means that everyone's different, everything's different, and everyone's to their own. And that's their Rashis. They're standing on the far side of the spectrum where the 70 nations are fanned out. And Klal Yisrael is on the top of the pyramid where everything is joined together into the one. So they're the 71st, that's on top of the 70. But Amalek doesn't even look at the 71st. He says the 70. So that's Ayin Malak, meaning that he wants to separate the head from the body. The head is Klal Yisrael, that's leading the nations to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he is trying to make a malika, trying to cut off the head. That's what, from the Shevim, from the 70 nations. He doesn't want Klal Yisrael to be the leader of the 70 nations. That's what Amalek is. Cutting off and separating himself. In fact, I also looked at it as Am Lamed Kuf. Amalek is Am Lamed Kuf. The Lamed and Kuf, those two letters are unique in that when you look at a sitter, or you look at a Sefer Torah, at all the letters, they all fit between two lines, parallel lines that you can make, except for the top of the Lamed and the bottom of the Kuf. I mean, there are end letters also. I'm not discussing the end letters. The end letters all go below the line. But besides the end letters, the Kuf goes below the line. Lamed goes above the line. So that's Amalek. Am Lamed Kuf. They're not going to be conforming with the rest of the nations, with Klal Yisrael. They separate themselves. They're spreading out to the other directions. Anyhow, so I think that this idea of Malika will explain a number of interesting midrashim. For instance, we find that when Esav came to meet Yaakov, Yaakov came to meet Esav after returning from Laban, it says that Yaakov ran to greet Esav, Esav ran to greet Yaakov, and then what happened? So there's a machlokus in the midrashim, but there's a very well-known midrash that says that Esav tried to take a big bite from Yaakov's neck. Except his teeth fell out. Why? Because it turned into marble, shayish. That's the midrash. Rashi thinks it's a well-known midrash. That's Shinir Yisham Shibarta. In fact, Chazal darshin it also from Tzavorech Kamigdal Hashem. Your neck is like a ivory tower. So that's what happened with Yaakov. What was Esav trying to do by biting Yaakov's neck? Well, what does that mean? It's a strange thing to do. It's a strange way to greet anybody. So what might be behind this is that the neck is indeed the part that connects the head to the body. Like we said, Malika is cutting off the head from the body. The head is what leads. The head is what takes a person wherever it takes them. The rest of the body just follows. So, over here, Esav was trying to cut off the head of Yaakov. The head of Yaakov is what's taking him to follow the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he was trying to say, no, that's not what the head is supposed to do. We don't follow the Ribbono Shel Olam. In fact, the tzavar is the front of the neck. The oref, is the back of the neck. That's where the Malika is. The Malika is in the Oref. He wants to cut off from the back. What it means is that when a person turns the back of his neck to someone, it means, I don't care about you. If someone comes and he turns what's called the Oref, right? Oref lo panim, if he turns the back of his neck, that's called turning your neck to someone. That's what it's called. When you turn your back, it's not called, in Hebrew, it's not called turning your back, it's called turning your neck. Right? The person that faces, he's turning the neck, meaning he's showing him the back of his neck. It's saying that you're not part of me. Amalek believes that the back of the neck is the way that you're supposed to relate to the rest of the world. The rest of the world, they're behind me, they don't bother me, I do what I want. All you need is the back of the neck. That's Amalek. And when Yehuda killed Amalek, according to a Medrash, right? With his one Medrash in Gemara, that Hushim ben Don killed Amalek. Another Medrash says Yehuda, and that's what it means in the Pasuk when it says, Yadcha ba'oref oivecha. Yadcha ba'oref oivecha was the bracha of Yehuda. And what it means is that you're going to be able to kill your enemy, and the enemy in this case is Esav, according to the Medrash. Shehu harag Esav. But how did he kill him? From the back, it says. From the Oref. Meaning that he came to destroy Amalek came from Esav. Esav was the one that gave the kolach to Amalek. He's like the concentrated Esav. But what Esav stands for is the same idea. And Yehuda said, we're not going to stand for that. He wants to break the Oref of Amalek. Killing of Amalek has to come, stopping Amalek has to come by breaking his Oref, breaking the back of the neck. In other words, to show that, no, don't use that part of your body to say, we don't care about anything else. That's not the way the world goes. And Amalek, like we said, at the same time, he's coming to try to cut off the neck of anybody that's following the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he's trying to cut off the head from the body, the head meaning Klal Yisrael to the nations, Ribbono Shel Olam on top of Klal Yisrael, and that's why Yehuda ended up killing him in such a way, according to that Medrash. Okay, in any case, what I painted over here is a picture of what Amalek's mission in life is. Separating themselves means that they don't want to see the Achdus of the Ribbono Shel Olam. They don't want to see unity in this world. They don't want to see serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. But rather, they want to be separate and not connected, not related to the mission of bringing the world together, Tachas Malchus Shemayim. That is what Amalek is. It shouldn't, right? Ein Hashem Shalem, because Amalek doesn't allow himself to see the Echod of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Achdus of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Hashem Echod. He doesn't allow himself, and he doesn't want to allow the world. He's trying to spread his gospel to the world in that sense. So, now, let's get back to Beis HaMikdash. So what we said in the beginning was that the story of Megillas Esther is all revolving around, will Klal Yisrael go back to Eretz Yisrael? Will there be a Beis HaMikdash or not? And we saw that it was the children of Haman that were working overtime to try to stop the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So with what we have learned, we could begin to understand why this is such an antithesis to Haman. The Beis HaMikdash and Amalek are on opposite sides of the spectrum, because if Amalek is trying to prevent Achdus, the Beis HaMikdash is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael to bring together. When we're in Eretz Yisrael, being together in Eretz Yisrael helps us serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu together. But you need more than that. You need to have the whole nation actually working together and serving together in order to really become close enough to Ribbono Shel Olam to be the Am Hashem, to be accomplishing our mission in this world. Because since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad, it's impossible to cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without first making ourselves Echad, without first bringing ourselves together. That is the first step. Without bringing ourselves into a single package, into a unity that shows how we're working together, we can't join HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because, just like a mother can't, because he's an individual. He says, as an individual, there's no connection to Ribbono Shel Olam. So too, even a Jew that wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's true, he wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he's still an individual. By showing that he's only part of a united whole, then he's able to become connected and part of the Ribbono Shel Olam in the same sense. Because then he's no longer someone that's standing on his own. Individuality prevents cleaving to Ribbono Shel Olam. It's like something that stands in the way of becoming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way to overcome it is by making yourself part of a group. And over here, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash was exactly that. When Klal Yisrael came to Yerushalayim, everyone is oil and regal, everyone's coming together. Can you imagine? I mean, we've seen some big hafganot, but when Klal Yisrael was maskin, when they made, it wasn't a protest, it was protesting that Hashem Echad, that's what they were protesting when they came to Yerushalayim by the regal. And that is what the Beis HaMikdash accomplishes. It says these Gemaras in the end of Chagiga, they talked about Kol Yisrael Chaverim, that when Klal Yisrael comes to the Beis HaMikdash, there's no such thing as Amei Ores, Chaverim, everyone is together. It unites people. Yerushalayim is the Ir Shechurba Lo Yachtov. It's the city that's made of attachments. It itself is attached to Yerushalayim Shemala. And everyone that comes in becomes joined together in Yerushalayim with this chibur, this grouping. And in the Beis HaMikdash, you see the Karmim all working together. People bring their Karbanas together. Karban Pesach, can you imagine? You have one short afternoon for all of Klal Yisrael to bring their Karbanas and then to eat it together in Yerushalayim, all together. The truth is, the whole idea of a Beis HaMikdash is the Achdus. In the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, right, it says, Vayakel Moshe, I'm going to tell you about the Mishkan, Vayakel. He brought them together. Why? Explains the Sochet Sheva Rebbe, because the Beis HaMikdash is something that the purpose of which is to unite, and that is what Moshe Ben was telling Klal Yisrael, Vayakel Moshe, come together. I want you to all come together. Without a Beis HaMikdash, then you have anyone, Isha Yesha Ben of Yasa, people could build a bama, could take a stone anywhere and bring a korban. There are times in the history of Klal Yisrael that's how it was. People, you have this mizbechot all over Eretz Yisrael. If you go around to study the archaeology, you'll see all over the place there are mizbechot. Because there was a time when it was actually perfectly permitted for anyone to bring a carbon anywhere. And the Beis HaMikdash stopped that. Now everyone is serving God together in the same place. It's Tel Talpios, the place that everyone is turning to. Even today when we daven, everyone is turning to the same place. Beis HaMikdash represents bringing Klal Yisrael together in a way that they could become attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have that direct conduit where we come to the Beis HaMikdash, and from there straight up, the Beis HaMikdash reaches straight up into the heavens, into being attached to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that is what the Beis HaMikdash is. And this is something that is discussed in many places in the Maral. For instance, in Ar Chodesh, a sefer on Megillas Esther, he talks about the Medrash of the Gemara that says, "In Mizera Hayehuda Mordechai, right? Nothal people of Funav, you're not going to succeed." What's it mean, Mizera Yehudim? The Gemara says it means if he's from one of these four Shvatim, if he's from Yehuda or Binyamin, or from an Asher Ephraim, you don't have a chance. Because you won't be able to conquer him, Haman. That's what his friends and his wife told him. You don't have a chance against them. What's special about these Shvatim? Says the Maharal, these are the Shvatim, which the Beis HaMikdash and Mishkan were built in their portions. Yehuda and Binyamin, that's where the Beis HaMikdash was. And in Shevet Yosef is where the Mishkan Shiloh was. These Shvatim have a special ability to become united, and because of that, the Beit HaMikdash is able to be built in their portion. That's what he says. He says, Ki elo hashvadim, hashvatim al yodam Yisrael hem echad. They bring Yisrael together by, he says, they bring Klal Yisrael together by having the Mikdash. Since they're fit for having a Mikdash, so then they bring Klal Yisrael together. And the Mikdash, of course, is something that requires unity. Like it says, he brings Midrashim about Ein lalo mizbech echad b'kayin echad b'chule, that with the story of Korach, that Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Moshe Benu said that we only have one Kohen Gadol and one service. Basically, these three Shvatim are the place, are the Shvatim that have the Beis HaMikdash. So I would say that the reason these Shvatim in particular, Yosef and Yehuda and Binyamin, are able to bring that is because Yehuda and Binyamin got tied together in a very unique way when Yehuda said about Binyamin that I'm going to be the Orev for Binyamin. From then on, their lives became intertwined in a way that would never be separated. Whenever you have Yehuda doing something, you have Binyamin involved there also. You have that you have in the place where the Nachlas were, the Nachla of Yehuda was right next to the Nachla of Binyamin. Yehuda, by taking this Arvus, was saying that I'm nothing at all without Binyamin. If he doesn't come back, I don't have Olam Haza, I don't have Olam Haza. He's giving himself over for someone else in a way that shows a total unity, a total giving up his own for someone else. So that's why Yehuda and Binyamin, because it works together, it's something that's mutual, are both able to unite Klal Yisrael, because they have practiced that this unity in a certain sense. And the same thing with Menashe and Ephraim, they both come from Yosef, they're coming from one Sheva that was split into two. So they also are united. Obviously, Menashe and Ephraim, they're not those boys together, and they're always with each other much more than the other Shvatim, because they're both from Yosef. So they are able to practice unity more than the other Shvatim, and maybe that's why the Beis HaMikdash, which is the demonstration of unity of Klal Yisrael, was in their Nachlas, and we can learn from that. So that's why, says Maral, the friends of Haman told him, if you are being faced with one of these Shvatim that are able to bring unity to Klal Yisrael, then what's Amalek? Amalek is just trying to bring the differentiation, to bring Pirud. And here you have someone that knows how to bring unity, then you're not going to be able to succeed, because they're the ones that are experienced and well-practiced in bringing unity. So that is exactly why Haman did everything he could to prevent the building of the Beis HaMikdash. He knew the building of the Beis HaMikdash is the end of Amalek. There's no more Amalek if there's a Beis HaMikdash, because once Klal Yisrael is fully united, they have the strength to unite the whole world in the Avodas Hashem. And that's why the sons of Haman found it very important to stop the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why the whole story of the Megillah is about Haman trying to destroy Klal Yisrael so that they shouldn't rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The worst thing in his mind would be, his worst nightmare was that they're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. That's what we've come to now. Again, that's the point of the Megillah here is there going to be a Beis HaMikdash or not? Amalek is at the forefront of saying that there should be no Beis HaMikdash, because he represents diversity and Beis HaMikdash represents unity. And he knows that it's the end of him if there's a Beis HaMikdash. The Tzfer Shlomo points out in his Jewish Parsha Zohar something fascinating. Says that whenever the Beis HaMikdash is about to be built, you first have to fight against Amalek. What happened when the Mishkan was built? It wasn't built until first. It says, Vayavo Amalek, and Yeshua went out to defeat Amalek. Then later in the times of Shmuel, when he's ready to anoint the king and to have someone build the Beis HaMikdash, again, before David HaMelech becomes king, you have to destroy Amalek. There's a fight against Amalek. And the same thing that is what happened over here in Megillah Esther. The Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. First we have to destroy Amalek. And lost at Lobo, that's what's going to happen. Mechemes Gog and Magog is going to come in order to destroy Amalek, and then we'll have the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash will be able to be part of us in this world without Amalek. And that's what the Gemara means when it says there are three mitzvahs Klal Yisrael was commanded when they came to Eretz Yisrael in Sanhedrin Dachot. They have to make a king, they have to destroy Amalek, and they have to build the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, to build the Beis HaMikdash, you have to destroy Amalek. To destroy Amalek, you have to be united. How do you become united with a king? Because a Melech is able to unite. So, that is the sequence for building a Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash itself, in fact, is referred to as a tzavar. We learn that the tzavar is what's connecting the head to the body, what Esav doesn't like. He doesn't like the connection. Beis HaMikdash is called tzavar. K'migdol David tzavar Eif. Medrash says, Zeh Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because just like the tzavar, without a neck, you don't have a head connected to the body. There's nothing left. The same way, without a Beis HaMikdash, you don't have the head connected to the body. You don't have the Ribbono Shel Olam connected to this world, and there's nothing left for Klal Yisrael. Kach, mishachar Beis HaMikdash, ein chayim l'sayna Yisrael. It's a euphemism that Klal Yisrael doesn't have life without a Beis HaMikdash. In any case, the Beis HaMikdash is also the neck. That's the same neck that Esav is trying to be molek, he's trying to split and to sever. So right now, we've seen that Amalek is going to prevent the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and in order to build the Beis HaMikdash, we have to fight against Amalek. We have to take Amalek's influence out of the world in order that we could put it together. Who is able to do that? Who's going to do that over here? When Haman complained to Achashverosh, he snitched, or he said Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael to Achashverosh. He said that Yeshno Am Echad Mefuzer Mefayred Bein Ha'amim. He said, Klal Yisrael is Mefuzer Mefayred. It's just the way we want them to be. We can't let them get together. Mefuzer, they spread out among all the nations. And if they're Mefuzer, then they become Mefayred. Then each one is like a separate unit. Mefayred is Lashon Preda, that each one is by itself. And then they're not able to get together. They won't be able to build a Beis HaMikdash. Now's the time to pounce on them. Who is going to come to correct this problem? Who realized what the problem of Klal Yisrael was, and why Haman was able to make such a gzeira? Who is it that's going to be able to change that? That's Mordechai HaTzadik. Why is that? Well, when he's first introduced as Ish Yehudi, the Targum over there says, Gvar chasidah umayda matzli kodem elokor al amei. He was a public person. The public person meaning he was davening for Klal Yisrael. Ish Yehudi means he was a man who was concerned with all of Klal Yisrael. Ish Yehudi, he was always davening for his people. He knew what unity meant. He knew what it means for Klal Yisrael to be together. And he was able to feel the lack of unity and to try to rebuild it. The Midrash says, it says this in an even more extreme way. Ish Yehudi, Ish Yechidi. He's a man that could be miyached, could be ma'ached. That's what the Midrash says. Let me tell you something very interesting. Something fascinating from Rav Shimshon Ostropoli. Rav Shimshon Ostropoli says about the pasuk that will shed some light on what Mordechai does and how he works. He says Rav Shimshon Ostropoli, Gaina Gainim Kublam Sham Kubalim, said many things that are hard to understand when you see it at first. It sounds pretty wild and strange, but everything he said was very deep and had meanings of Pshat, Remez, Drush, Sod. So something he said about the Megillah was the following. He said that Haman was telling over to his wife, something's bothering me. He said that I have everything that I could possibly want, and even I was invited to the party with Achashverosh tomorrow by Esther. I'm the only minister that's going to be there. But it's bothering me that still, Chol Zeinenu Shavali, whenever I see, right, the Chol Eis Hashani Reyes, Mordechai Yoshev Hashem Melech, and he's not going to stand, then it drives me crazy. And that's when she told me, okay, so then build yourself a tree, build a tall pole, and hang him the next morning. Anyhow, the words in the pasuk are v'chol ze einenu shavali. So, Rishon Shasher Pelech Matai puts the v'chol ze. He says v'einenu shavali. What's the v'chol ze? What's the shavali? What's it mean? It's not worth it. He's saying that something's bothering him. What's the einu shavali? So he says like this. He says, Mordechai and Esther were opponents of Haman and Zeresh. They're on the opposite sides of the ring. Right? And said Mordechai and Esther have the numerical value of 26 between them, and so does Haman and Zeresh. How is that? If you look at what's called Mispar Katan, you drop all the zeros, as you would say, and then you look at the numbers that are left. So when you have Mordechai, so Mem would be 4 instead of 40, and the Resh would be 2. So you have Mem Resh, Dal Chaf, that's 4, 2, 4, 2, and the Yud would be 1, that's 13. Esther would be 1 and 6, and 4 and 2, it would be also 13. Right? 1, 6 is 7, and 4 is 11, and 2 is 13. 13 and 13 is 26. That's Mispar Havaya. That's Hashem Hashem. Haman is 5 and 4 and 5. That's 14. But Zeresh is Zion and Resh, is 7 and 2 and 3. So 7 and 5 is 12. So it's 14 and 12. So that also comes out to 26. So he says Rav Shimshon Astropoli, the Mekubalim say that if Haman and Zeresh would have been 13 and 13, no one could overcome them. It's because he's 14 and she's 12. They're not like Mordechai and Esther. They're 13 and 13. That's why Mordechai and Esther could overcome him. That's what he meant. Bechol Zeh. Zeh is 12. And the Zeh, you Zeresh, you're only 12. And I'm 14. So, Einenu Shavali. So now, you're not equal to me. So now, I can't overcome Mordechai and Esther. So we have to take them out of the picture. That's what he says. Bechol Zeh, Einenu Shavali. You're not equal to me. So I want to understand it, at least in some level, as follows. Chazal tell us, Ish v'ish v'shchina b'neihem. What does it mean, Ish v'ish v'shchina b'neihem? It means that the Yud of the Ish and the Hey of the Isha, right, unite to bring the Shechina to the house. What it means is, what it really means is, as we said, to become united with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, a person cannot do it as an individual. It must be done through uniting himself, taking away some of his individuality. And the most basic way to do that is with Ish V'Isha. When a person's each side of the pier is sacrificing something that's very much part of him for someone else. Whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's the house, they're giving up of themselves to make themselves part of the pier. They're no longer individuals, and because of that, they're able to come close to Kodesh Baruch Hu and to bring the Shechina. Now they're not working for themselves any longer. They're working for themselves, and they're working as a group for the two of them. Working for the two of them is able to already be a lesson for people to become close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, allow people to shed some of their individuality, which will allow them to unite with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what it means, Shechina B'neihem. But it only happens if they see each other on equal footing. Haman was not so good at that. Haman, we know, was Memuchan, the one that said, Yetzu Dvar Malka, Kol Aneshem, Laharzus Baleim B'neihem. You gotta always be careful. Don't let those women step out of place. Off with their head. That was the way that Haman saw a happy marriage. So, that was the 14 and the 12. I have to be 14, she has to be 12. If they would have been 13 and 13, meaning even a Rasha that's able to unite himself, we find what it says by Migdal Bava, that everyone was tougher, Achas is Ram Achodim, Va'ata, Le'ivotimehem, Asher Yosmulah, so they're going to be able to accomplish anything once they're doing it with unity. Even a Rashi, even a Ganav, even if they're rebelling against Ribbono Shel Olam, Le'ivatzelahem, if they would have been equal, Haman and his wife, they could have been a team that could have been proper opponents for Mordechai and Esther. But he didn't know what it meant to have a wife, to be married. He was a 14 and 12. He wasn't a 13 and 13. And that was why he couldn't overcome Mordechai.
Yeah, but isn't it very dangerous for evil people to treat each other equally? And then they can do whatever they like.
You can't treat someone else like you treat yourself. You have to treat, you have to sacrifice.
Very polite, look in English, very polite,
but you treat exactly like Michael. You're right? Okay. Yeah. It has to be qualified. We have to know what it means to sacrifice yourself to someone. To be united is not just to be polite. It's a different
13 and 13 is 2 halves and
26. 13 and 13 is 2 halves. Very good. That's the point. Right? I mean, 13 is Ahava. Ahava is as up to 13. You have Ahava and you have Ahava. That brings together the Shem Hashem, the Yudkei Vavkei. The Pasuk says, Kol Zein Ena Shavli. Zein Ena Shavli is Yudkei Vavkei in Sofei Teva. So end of the word, Zein Ena Shavli is Yudkei Vavkei. That's the Shem Hashem. But it's backwards. That's what Haman is saying. Kol Zein Ena Shavli, he can't get it straight. For him, it's always going to be the Shem Hashem will be backwards. He can't become united in any way that he could understand the Shem Hashem. As long as you see Mordechai, why was he always by the Shara Melech? He was looking out for Esther. As long as I see that, then I'm not going to be able to overcome them. Okay. I'm demonstrating here that Mordechai started at home and spread out to Shushan and spread out to all of Klal Yisrael. He was a man that was out to unite everybody. And it started with his wife, with Esther. Chazal say she was a bas to Mordechai, means a bias. She was his wife. And it's interesting, we find in the Gemara Mordechai al Akinim, that Mordechai was the one in the Beis HaMikdash who was appointed on the Kinim. The Kinim were korbanos that were given to women that gave birth in order that they could reunite after they gave birth, when their tummy. It says that they bring this carbon at the time they reunite with their husbands. And it says in the Gemara in Shabbos, it talks about the Bnei Eli, who didn't let the people, they delayed people's carbon kinim, the women's carbon kinim, and because of that, they were punished severely for breaking up man and wife. And Mordechai al kinim might be because of that, because he knew how to join together man and wife. In any case, Mordechai, according to the Medrash, a beautiful Medrash in Yalkut Shemoni, in Amos Tavkuf Mem Hei, says that when Mordechai went to Golos, he went to Chutz Laaretz, he came back to Eretz Yisrael with Zerubbabel, and he wanted to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, that's Mordechai Bilshan, says Betharish in the Pasuk. There's Mordechai coming with Zerubbabel. What's he doing back in Shushan? Says the Medrash, he went there to try to counteract the counseling of the sons of Haman. He was making an APAC in order to be able to convince the king to allow them to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. That was the reason that Mordechai was in Shushan. He was out to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So that was what he was coming with to fight against Haman. It says in the Medrash, it says, Kinusai v'kinus banav hitzilom yad Esav. As long as Yaakov and his children are together, Esav can't do anything to them. That was what Mordechai knew, and that was what Esther said when she told Mordechai, Lech kenos es kol Yehudim, bring together all the Jews. That's the first step. And that's actually what happened. Vayikolu vayimod al nasham, nikalu Yehudim. They're able to get together. Once they brought themselves together, then Amalek has no more place. And that brings us back to what we started with. What are the mitzvahs of the day? The mitzvahs of the day are what we gained from Purim. From Purim we gained bringing the nation back together. We laid the groundwork for rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash by uniting ourselves. The mitzvahs that we take with us are Mishloach Manas Ish L'Re'eyu, to bring together Klal Yisrael, Matanos L'Avyeinim. Everyone should come together and even the Mishnah B'Simcha, it's not just like a Sudas Yantav, everyone's happy in their house, but everyone's happy with everyone else. Everyone's joining together. That's it says Gedela the Gima Shemakarevus Archaikim. Part of what's special about eating together is it makes everyone feel good with each other, and that's what the Sudas Purim is about. And the Kriyas Megillah, which is Pirsumei Nisa, getting everyone together, it's something that you have to read with 10 people, you have to read it with a minyan, and the bigger the minyan, the better. That's all to show that we're going to all celebrate as a single nation. This is what we have to take with us. Again, it has to start at home. That's where it all starts. And then we have to take it out to the shul. Not that the person that's sitting there, he disturbs me, I'm going to sit on the other side of the shul. No, everyone has to be together. And it has to spread out to the whole neighborhood. Like you see over here, the whole neighborhood working together. It has to spread out from there to all of Klal Yisrael. And with that, that's Hashem will be Zeicha to see Binyan Beis HaMikdash v'Meher v'Yameinu. 1 minute.